12, 2828, Orr versus Latino Express.
Good morning. May it please the court, Zane Smith for Latino and Mr. Garduno in this appeal. I think in reviewing this case, the panel should consider a couple of factors, actually four or five factors. The first one is that the 10J order for preliminary injunction for relief was issued by a board that has since been determined to be an illegal board by the U.S. Supreme Court. Panel will recall Noel Canning is a decision in which the recess appointments of President Obama were determined to be improper. This, of course, affects the 10J order, indicating that the 10J order, which is the basis of the district court's contempt order, was an illegal order. The second consideration is that the district court's contempt order of April 25, 2012, has been deemed moot. And it was deemed moot because the appellate court dismissed
it. It's not the board that entered the injunction that underlies the contempt order. The district court enjoined Latino Express under its 10J jurisdiction.
Yes.
And the injunction provides interim relief while the administrative case is pending. I mean, even if the board later overturns the injunction, the order of the district court is still a court order that requires compliance.
I respectfully...
I really think that's a red herring, Mr. Smith.
Well, the April 25th order is not an order that requires compliance because that order was dismissed as moot by the court. And it was dismissed as moot pursuant to the motion of the board.
I still don't understand how Noel Canning affects the contempt order. That was an order of the board.
Sorry.
And has Latina Express complied with all portions of the contempt order at this point?
Yes. Yes, it has. But the issue here is whether or not the April 25th contempt order based upon the... And I'm not suggesting that the court should overturn or consider Noel Canning. I'm only bringing this up because Noel Canning formed the basis of what our position is really a house of cards that the contempt order was built upon.
Yeah, but if the district court bought that house of cards and entered the order, that still doesn't... I mean, the district court still looked at it, even though it would have done it in that context. It doesn't mean the district court's order has to be vacated because of Noel Canning.
I agree. Noel Canning does not require a vacation. I brought it up because it forms a basis of why the board actually petitioned the appellate court for the dismissal of the April 25th, 2012 order that the court did dismiss as and also deemed it to be moot.
Is it your position that an employer can purposely fail to comply with the district court's preliminary injunction order under 10J and then simply wait for the district court injunction to become moot by operation of the fact that the board issues its final order on the matter? Is that your position?
It is not. That is not our position. Our position is that the district court issued a contempt order based upon a moot order. Once the April 25th order was deemed moot, no further orders that were either flowed from or based upon that April 25th order were enforceable. I think what was happening here is that even after the April 25th, 2012 order was deemed moot, the district court and the board moved along as if that order was still proper and enforceable, which really put Latino in the untenable position of having to comply with an unappealable order. No matter what that order said or contained, it was unappealable. Latino had no recourse whatsoever.
What I also have been wondering, if an employer eventually complies with an order, even if it is significantly late, Is it your position that there should be no penalty?
Well, it's not my position. It's the position of the case law.
That even if it's significantly late?
If the question is whether or not a party has an obligation to comply with an order of a court, of course. But this case is, does the question before the panel is whether or not Latino had to comply with the order of a court based upon an order that had been dismissed as moot. The issue is important because the question of money damages, back pay, and attorney's fees is still outstanding. That has not been determined. And it would be improper and unjust to force Latino, express my clients, to pay the district court's entry of the contempt order for the monies that are anticipated when the district court, once the appellate court was dismissed as moot. All of the orders attached to that April 25th order should have been void.
Well, here's my problem. Latino Express did not file its motion for reconsideration until 1 week after the deadline for compliance with the contempt order had passed. And surely that cannot constitute a reasonable and diligent effort to comply.
Maybe not. But ultimately, because the April 25th order was dismissed as moot, anything that flows from that is done. It's over. The case should not have continued. The district court should not have entered any further orders upon the order of the appellate court dismissing the case. That is supported by numerous cases that we've cited, including this Seventh Circuit in In re Smith. If a case becomes moot on appeal, the appellate court loses jurisdiction. And to protect the appellant against the use of a non-appealable order, the appellate court will order the previous orders in the case dismissed at the same time that it dismisses the appeal. What should have happened here was that at the time of the April 25th order, all previous orders should have been dismissed. Without the April 25th, which I will remind the panel is the contempt order, anything that flowed after the April 25th order was improper. The court did not have jurisdiction.
Let's do a little hypothetical. Suppose Latino Express had been ordered to reinstate Garcia and Salgado by April 30th, but didn't. On May 5th, Garcia is offered a position out of state at twice the pay. He moves away. Latino Express sends a letter offering reinstatement on May 30th. Should Latino Express be off the hook for violating the order just because of Garcia's good fortune?
Well, I think the answer would be yes, because it would be an order that would be impossible to comply with. We could make the offer, but the offer could not be accepted because he had moved out of state. And actually, that's what happened in this case. The court ordered Latino to reinstate the two employees to their previous positions as bus drivers when they were unlicensed. It was an impossible order to comply with.
Well, you offered illusory offers of reinstatement to them.
There wasn't enough time for them to get the license.
That
if they showed up unable to work, that would be a rejection. And, he's saying he didn't. Mr. Gardunio is saying that he didn't know their permits had expired until the day before they were scheduled to work. But the court here, Judge Grady, discredited his testimony as implausible. I mean, Latino had a spreadsheet of expiration dates and kept track of such things.
So the question is whether or not Latino had actually didn't comply with the court order because it was a sham offer?
Sure. Right.
Okay. That's untrue. The request to reinstate the employees was placing the burden on Latino to make sure that the employees were licensed at the time of the reinstatement. Latino could not have done that. These two employees had been unemployed over a year, sitting at home, collecting unemployment, knew about the fact that their license had been had expired, both their CDL and their bus permit, knew that they had expired and yet did nothing about that, even though they had the opportunity to do that. Now, there is a disputed question about how and what process they have to go through in order to get their permits, but there's three ways they could get their permits. They could get it on their own, they could get it with another employer, or they could get it through Latino. It doesn't matter. For purposes of this appeal, the question is not whether or not Latino did or didn't did or didn't make a correct offer or didn't offer the employment in a way that complied with the court. I understand that that would be a consideration if, in fact, the underlying contempt order was proper. It is our position that the court did not have the ability to enforce the April 25th order because it was deemed as moot. I don't know how the panel gets past that.
You're into your rebuttal time, but you do what you want.
Okay. I want to also refer to the fact that there was a distinction between compensatory and coercive relief, and the court made that distinction. I'm sorry, and the court made that distinction, and board also makes that distinction. For purposes of this appeal, I don't think it makes a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on up, Mr. Morey. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
May it please the court, my name is David Morey, and I represent the National Labor Relations Board and its regional director, Peter Orr. Before I address the mootness argument, I would like to talk about what the primary issue is here. And the issue is whether or not Latino Express complied with the injunction issued by the district court on April 25th, 2012. Latino Express was required to make offers of reinstatement to two employees, Carol Garcia and Pedro Salgado, pending a resolution by the board on the merits of their terminations. Secondly, Latino Express was required to post copies of the injunction order in English and in Spanish at its facility. The Spanish version was supposed to be a board-approved version. And lastly, Latino Express was required to remove any references from its files to the terminations of Garcia and Salgado while the board was adjudicating their terminations. Now, with regard to the reinstatement, first off, the injunction order had a compliance deadline. All of these actions were supposed to be taken by April 30th. And in the case of the offers of reinstatement, April 30th, I guess, came and went by without any offers of reinstatement made by Latino Express. Latino Express did not make any offers of reinstatement to either Garcia or Salgado until May 10th. The problem with these reinstatement offers were they were, as the district court had said, illusory. The reason that these offers were illusory was because these offers were actually designed to prevent the two employees from returning to work. They were crafted, or they were drafted in such a way that these employees would not be able to return to work. First, it provided a very short notice in which to return to work. These offers were made on, I believe, May 10th, and they were received by the employees on May 11th or 12th. And these offers told them to come to work on Monday. May 14th, early in the morning, 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. More importantly, though, the offers contained a condition, and that condition was that they come to work on May 14th, quote, ready and able to work as bus drivers. So what happens is they come to work on May 14th, and they're both turned away. And the reason that they're both turned away is because they did not have valid permits, bus driver permits at the time. Their permits had expired during that interim period between the dates of their termination. Garcia was terminated in December 2010, and Salgado was terminated in January 2011. And in that interim period, their licenses or their bus permits had expired.
Was there a lot of evidence that Latino Express always offered assistance?
The evidence
that was their its custom.
The evidence before the district court on this issue was ample. The evidence before the district court showed that Latino Express let its employees use its buses to take the required road test required by the state to get a license. They sent the employees out to get fingerprinted, to get background checked, to get the physical examinations. They also collected the $4 application fee from the employees, collected their applications as well. The applications also have a section, a certification, where Latino Express has to certify that the employers have met the requirements to get a new permit or to renew an existing permit. And then Latino Express sent that along to the state. In addition, Latino Express also provided, I guess you would call it a loan. They paid some of the upfront costs to get these licenses, and then some or all of it was then deducted from the employees' paychecks. So going back to the point on the reinstatements, Latino Express knew that before May 14th that these employees were not going to be able to meet the condition of able, ready and able to work, which is why they included that language. Sarah Martinez, who is a dispatcher at Latino, testified before Judge Grady that she keeps track of the driver's permits and makes sure that the drivers have the proper permits to drive buses for Latino Express. In fact, when Salgado attempted to return to work on May 14th, it was Sarah Martinez and Henry Garduño, who is the president of Latino Express, they pulled out a spreadsheet and said, look, your permit, you can't come back to work. Your permit's invalid, see? So even before this May 14th date, Latino Express knew that they were going to turn away Garcia and Salgado when they returned to work, and they knew on what basis. And compounding this problem, as we have just discussed, is the fact that Latino Express did not offer them any assistance. We just heard that you could get a license on your own or through another employer or through Latino Express. Somebody has to sign that certification that says that this employee has met all of the requirements to get a bus permit. The state says you need a current or a prospective employer to sign that certification. Latino Express was that employer, and Latino Express refused to offer them any assistance. You know, I don't want to be harsh, but it does come off kind of like games playing topped by more games playing. And for this reason, you know, it is our position that the district court correctly found or correctly held Latino Express and its president in contempt for violating this provision, the reinstatement provision. On the posting provision, Latino Express was required to also post a board-approved version of the injunction order in Spanish at its facility. Now, the posting provision is important because it serves to inform employees of their rights under the National Labor Relations Act. A translation, an accurate translation, is important because many of the employees at Latino Express are Spanish-speaking. And again, there was a compliance deadline that was set, but they didn't meet that compliance deadline. They waited until May 10th before submitting a version to the board for the board to approve, which the board approved on May 11th and sent back to Latino for posting. Now, in terms of the differences between the company's version and Latino Express's version, Henry Garduño, at the district court proceeding before Judge Grady, the contempt proceeding, admitted that the company's version translation was, quote, not very good. I had a hard time understanding it. The board's version was better. It was more direct.
Does the ultimate decision of the board have any effect on this case? For instance, would it matter if the board had later found that Latino Express had not violated the act in any way?
No, and I believe there's a case in the brief where an injunction was issued but ultimately the board found that that the basis for the injunction, it was not enforced by the appellate court. In other words, the unfair labor practices that the board alleged were not ultimately affirmed by the appellate court. I mean, there is a four-pronged test in order to have an injunction issued, and it is likelihood of success, balance of harm, public interest. Those are the primary prongs in assessing whether or not an injunction should issue.
So does the ultimate decision of the board have any effect on this case?
The ultimate decision does not have any effect on this case.
And has, do you agree that Latina Express has complied now with all the terms of the contempt order?
To the best of our knowledge, Latina Express has complied with the provisions of the injunction.
And if we were to find the April 25th order was moot, do you agree that the fines would not be a valid sanction?
You know, we made this point in our brief, which is there is a distinction between coercive provisions and compensatory provisions, and there's a reason for that. Because if the entire, and it is our standard procedure that when a board order issues, we move to dismiss an underlying appeal on the basis of mootness, because a board order does moot out the coercive procedures, or I'm sorry, the coercive provisions. So it wouldn't make sense. Any of the provisions that are required to force compliance, to compel compliance with the injunction, they really are moot. However, there are also the compensatory damages. And those compensatory damages in this case would have included, or do include, back pay to Salgado and Garcia, as well as board attorney fees and costs for investigating and prosecuting this action. On that issue of mootness, when the board issued its decision on July 31st, 2012, 1 week later, I believe it was August 7th, the National Labor Relations Board moved to dismiss the appeal of the underlying injunction based on mootness grounds. At that time, no notice of appeal of the contempt order had been filed. On August 27th, this court granted the dismissal. I think one of our problems here is that they're raising this issue of the, I guess, the unfairness of the dismissal or their inability to appeal the injunction when arguably they took the dismissal sort of lying down. There was no petition for rehearing on the dismissal. There was no motion for reconsideration. There was no petition for certiorari. It feels like a waiver here. If I may go back to the posting issue, we do believe that the district court judge properly credited the testimony of Carlos Garcia. It was not just testimony he had, but he also had photographs taken by Carlos Garcia showing when the NLRB approved version, Spanish version of the injunction order was posted at the facility. The employer's defense was essentially, I don't know who posted it, and I don't know when it was posted. Lastly, there was the provision that required Latino Express to remove the terminations from its files within 5 days, and a district court judge found that Latino Express did not comply with that provision as well. The first time you heard about any removal of files was in the May 10th offers, in which they said, we're offering you reinstatement, and by the way, we temporarily removed the references to your terminations from the files. Now, it's one thing to tell the employees that, but at the same time, too, Latino Express was also required to file a certificate of compliance with this court stating with specificity how it complied with the order of the court. And they've never filed anything with this court certainly not within, I believe it was a 20-day deadline. They've never filed anything with this court that said, we removed the references to their terminations on such and such date. That is why we also are arguing that Latino Express has failed to comply with this third provision. If there are no questions, I'm early.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
May it please the court, I think it's telling that the board has failed to cite any case to support the position that an unappealable moot order is enforceable. All of the sanctions entered by the district court were based upon an order that was dismissed as moot. The primary issue, I believe, is the question of whether or not that order is enforceable in the subsequent orders of the district court for the contempt orders that all flow from that order are enforceable. Counsel suggests that that our offer to the employees was illusory, which is what the district court found, that it was illusory. The abuse of discretion of the district court was placing the burden on Latino to make sure that these employees were licensed and had their bus permits at the time of the offer. The question is, what burden did the employees have who were off for a year and a half, who made the problem worse, not because they allowed their license and their permits to expire, but they allowed them to expire for over a year. That required a more of an effort, more of a process in order for them to be re-permitted in order to be employed. It's also important to note that the district court's order was a reinstatement to their position. Their position was bus driver. They were not ordered to go in the employee lobby and collect a check and to pay them or to provide them pay for doing nothing. The employees were bus drivers, and under state law, they could not drive a bus unless they were permitted, and they were not permitted. And one last point, Latino objected to the dismissal on appeal of the April 24th order. So this suggestion that Latino sat back and allowed everything to move ahead without any action on their part is incorrect. Latino objected to the dismissal of the April 25th order, knowing that we would be in exactly this situation, that the court would continue to enter orders based upon an April 25th order that had been dismissed as unappealable and moot. So unless the panel has any other questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thanks to both parties. And, of course, the case will be taken.